Hi, everybody, and welcome to this early morning session. Great to see you all here. So what we're going to talk about now is, let's see if I can find the right remote. There it is Demo Extravaganza, Internet Sites with SharePoint 2013. And I have to say, it's a pleasure talking about this topic these days. The kind of feedback we get on the WCM features that we've added in SharePoint 2013 is great. And I think that you'll see that in this session. It's a bit different session, I would say. You would see that this isn't a session where I'll show some kind of crafted demo that we've been developing in-house in Microsoft, where we're trying to show off everything. This will be demos that are running on live customer sites. Some are still in testing. They're going live soon. But there's no bogus here. We haven't faked anything. I'll be presenting what the customers have been doing. And I think it's great to also see and hear from these customers their experiences when it comes to what they've been able to accomplish using SharePoint 2013. That's a joy. I'm Fredrik Holm, by the way, Senior Program Manager in the product group. So I'm going to take you through 9 different sites. And I think you'll see different stories. I'm not only showing off the high-end sites. We'll start with some simple ones, and then we'll get more and more advanced. And you'll see that there's something here for everyone. So we'll see several sites. And I think, how many of you visited the What's New in WCM session yesterday? Quite a handful, yeah? Good. So this is really related to the WCM topic. And we'll have more sessions on this topic later during this event. And I hope that you'll join more of them. I will, in this session, focus on how our customers have been using our features. We will not go into detail on every feature. We have separate sessions for that. But the goal for me is that you leave this room feeling inspired, that you would like to do something with SharePoint 2013 on the internet. So I think this is the most important thing. I would like you to feel inspired. And also, the sites we will be going through here, a lot of the customers and partners that have set up these sites are actually in the room. So if you have questions, grab them after this session or try to meet up with them during this event. I know several will be joining Ask the Expert tomorrow afternoon. I'll be there as well. So please reach out and get as much information as you need to get this going. And you'll see quite a few slides in this presentation, and I think that's good early in the morning. So let's see if we can get this up and running. Let's see. I guess not. So the first site we'll talk about is CC College out of Canada. So CC College is a SharePoint 2010 customer. They use that for their internet sites today. They they're quite happy with how it works, but they have some challenges. And it's really about how they copy and paste content. The content editors there aren't that advanced in HTML and understanding what they can do and what they can't do. And they've had some issues with copying content from Word, where they have a lot of content, into the rich text editor in 2010. So one of the key drivers for them considering upgrading to 2013 is the improved quality and how we can handle a lot of the different formatting in the rich text editor. So that's been a key driver for them. Another thing that's been important is the content search and being able to do content aggregation. So they aggregate news. I'll show you that on their page. And also image rendition. Image rendition is important for them since it is quite difficult to understand pixels and formatting and what size of the picture actually fits into the HTML and will you break the design in any way. So image rendition is a good way for them to safeguard that none of the content editors actually breaks what's going on. So these are the three main things for CC College. And let's switch to their site. This isn't live yet. They're going live soon. But this is then the development site they have. And you'll see that it's quite similar to what you would see on based on the 2010 site. They still use kind of ASPX pages. If you see the URL coming up in the bottom there, professional standards ASPX. So they haven't moved to the managed navigation and so on. They're taking this step by step, but they've been addressing their business concerns. You see latest news here in the middle. That is then content search. Content aggregated from several sources, and they are able to get that in one place. And also, I'll show you how they use image rendition. So these are some images that are available on the site now. And if I go in here and click edit renditions, you see that they've defined several renditions, and this makes it safe for them to work with pictures. It's not about picking the right picture for the right spot and make sure that it's the right size and so on. They upload the image and they edit the rendition here so that it fits the look and feel they're looking for, and they know that it will not break the page. So this is all about enabling content editors to do a daily job without being afraid of doing mistakes. So I think this is a great example where they've taken some key features that addresses their business concerns and the content editor's concerns and decided to move forward using 2013 on that basis. The next one we'll take a look at is Wortel.nl out of the Netherlands. So they launched quite early on 2013 with, I think it was based on the beta bits. And what's been important for them is the content search and how they can aggregate content across different pages and do content reuse. They've been doing managed navigation, friendly URLs, meaning that you don't have that .ASPX anymore, you don't see the pages. It's quite easy today to see what's a SharePoint 2010 site or 2007. You see pages, you see list IDs, you see ASPXs, and so on. So managed navigation, friendly URLs been important for them, and they've also been focusing on the out-of-the-box design story. If you watched the keynote yesterday with the Dreamweaver story, where we now support Dreamweaver all the way, that's one of the things that they've been focusing on. So let's see what their site looks like. You'll see that we have a lot of sites to go through. So I'll give you just a hint of each of them. We'll go and look at the authoring experience for some later sites. But I'll just start with the public experience for some sites first. So this is their site. If I click on one of the blogs here, for instance, you see that in the URL, it says blog and then the title. I'm not good in Dutch, so I won't try to pronounce that, especially not the G. But I hear there's some Dutch people here. but the point here is that the friendly URL provides great search engine optimization. You make sure that you get the right rating in the search engine, and also what's often presented and what people read when they use Bing and Google and so on is actually they read the URL. The title of the page isn't always what the users are focusing on. So this is a great example where they've taken SharePoint 2013 and not invested that much. They just got it up and running, and that was very, very early. And the demo I'll show you now is what I would say is something different. It's Atom Orbit. They've done an experience which is really surface-oriented. It's all about rich device support. It's a Windows-style UI. You, actually, when you use it, it's and I've used it on my RT, and I've used it on an iPad, and it feels almost like a native app. And I call it WCM as an app. Without actually being an app. It's running as web parts. And you can even configure it using a touch device. Have you tried to do that with web part tool panes? Trying to hit the small crosses and options? That's quite challenging. But what Atom Orbit has built on top of SharePoint 2013 is some web parts that actually then makes that possible. And I think it's a great way to demonstrate how you can take SharePoint further. They build this web part on top of CSOM. They've integrated it with List. They've integrated it with search experiences. And they have mimicked, actually, a lot of the functionality you see of kind of the search web parts and the other web parts we have in SharePoint. So I'll show you what that looks like. Now I need to be quite concentrated. I have approximately 30 different tabs here that I'll go through. So please brace yourself. Let's see if I can find the right one here. So how they've done this is really an experience where you choose your design. And as you see, you can choose different tile designs. You have maybe the more important content in the larger tiles. That is the common way of doing it. And then the less important content. And when you've then chosen what kind of layout you'd like, and again, this is for the first panel. You can add more panels later on as well, so you can stack that vertically. You then choose a theme. And that's kind of a color theme. And then so this is what it looks like when you've added some web parts. You see on the left-hand side, we have a blog web part. You have access to the pitch deck. That's actually a document library. You have a Twitter feed here with announcements. And I'll also show you what this looks like when you're editing this. So you recognize the ribbon from SharePoint, of course. And here you then see how you can configure what blog would you like here. You can pick one of these. You can also here decide what document library should this tile be connected to. And here is what Twitter feed should you be connected to. And as you see, all of these things are actually... It's possible to configure this using a touch device. I think it's a great example on how to do something on top of SharePoint that creates a rich experience. And I'll also show you the kind of what could be the end result. I wasn't able to get my touch device connected here now, so I think you can have a demo of that later on. Atom Orbit is here, so please let me know if you'd like to see that touch device experience later on. But what you see here is then the first tile, you move on to the next one, where you have some links, you have an event, some data from Bing, and you also have the document library, for instance. And if I click here on the document library, I have access to the documents. So all of that is a very nice, touch-friendly experience. Let's see, and I'll just show you this one as well, where you can edit my view, which means that you can edit the view you'll see as an individual versus editing it for all users. So it's a great experience built on top of the SharePoint stack. Now to something different. I hope some ideas appear here, and I like it. I see people thinking and how they can use this. I think that's great. I'm looking forward to the kind of ideas you can come up with now based on this. Something different, Share the Point. That is the SharePoint community site in Asia Pacific. And what I think is really, really nice with Share the Point is that they've done an external community using the community features of SharePoint, like the social features in general. They've taken them online. They are using the blog feature and the social features in general, and they have integrated it with Azure ACS. So you can authenticate with Facebook. You can authenticate with Google. Like, you have kind of an easy way of interacting with the community without having to manage your users this way. And as I told Debbie, that's behind this earlier, or as I told her that yesterday, that I've actually gone there on the community site and answered some questions yesterday, some good questions there in the SharePoint community regarding our new features. And I just authenticated using Facebook. So let's see what that looks like. So this is the site. And if I go to Connect Community, for instance, you see that here there are some discussions going on. If I go to translation of site contents, you see that I've commented some there. I could also sign in. And I'll sign in using Facebook. And what you see here is, let's see, what you see here, since I now signed in, I can reply to this. Very easy. They also use the blog feature. And so I think that's great. And also how they drive the calendar, the event calendar, on top of the SharePoint features here. So this is kind of a new way of using the SharePoint features for an external site. And I think that's great. This is the kind of innovation that we really appreciate. And I think also what's key here is that it's not much of a maintenance necessary to run this, since it's integrated with Azure and the community is self-sustained. I think that's a great site. I definitely suggest that you go online there and look at this. And again, think, how can you do something that's community-driven if you have those business requirements? Another customer that is working on moving to SharePoint 2013 is Acmea. Acmea is a huge insurance company. What's been important for them is to standardize on using SharePoint 2013 for all their sites. They have hundreds of sites, and the cost of having them running on several different platforms, there's limited integration, and it's general a high cost way of doing things. They are now moving then to SharePoint. They're using SharePoint for some sites already today, but what they're doing is they're working on moving most of them to SharePoint 13. And acmea.com is the one site that they've been working on. I think that story is great. I sat down with the technical development team of that site yesterday, and they told me that from they started till they finished what you'll see now, it's not live yet, it's they're working on that, but from they started until what you see now, they used 2 weeks, one person, 2 weeks in that time frame. And I think that's great. It's definitely a new story compared to what you had to do with 2010. And they've been focusing on then the authoring experience, and they've been focusing on aggregation of news, like using content search, a combination of the in-place editing, where they create pages the way you would do it in 2010, but also aggregate news into the site using the content search. And they've been focusing a lot on accessibility. They have focused on cleaning up the HTML. They've optimized the HTML a lot. So when you see that site going live, it's not necessarily possible to see that it's actually SharePoint. Pardon? So the question was what they've done to improve the accessibility. So what they've done is they've moved a lot of it for a server-side rendering. So, but we can do more of that also in the Q&A and also during Ask the Experts tomorrow. It's a good discussion. And also as a part of the accessibility, let's see if we can actually show you this. So this isn't live yet, but I've been given access to it, so that's great. So here it is. So what you see here is then the site that they've set up. You see that the press section here, that is content search, they focused quite a bit on search capabilities in general. And with the new search capabilities that we've added to SharePoint 13 and the whole content search story and so on, it's great because the investments that you do setting up the authoring experience also gives you the search experience for free. It's not like you need to plan for search as a separate topic as part of your project. Everything is a part of search anyway. You have that as a native citizen. So it's a great story to also tell, and you don't have to do additional investments to get a great search going. And so this is what it looks like. And what's also been important for them is to be able to route between HTTP and HTTPS due to some network limitations here. I won't be able to show you, but they have some pages running on HTTPS using forms. And with the new capabilities in SharePoint 2013, you're able to run both HTTP and HTTPS in the same site collection. So that has been a huge improvement for them, not having to have separate site collections just because you needed HTTPS. And I'll also show you the authoring experience they have here, because it's connected with this experience. You see that navigation here is driven on top of managed navigation. So if I click on, for instance, governance, you see corporate governance is appearing in the URL. And they've actually also done the footer information is also driven out of the term store using the managed navigation concept. So that makes it very easy for them to manage what is appearing there without having to do too much too much HTML editing. So let's see if we can find the authoring experience for this one. So it would be this one here. So here, now I've switched to the authoring experience. And it's, you see on the left-hand side, you see the more complete navigation strategies or the hierarchy that they use there. So if I go to compliance, for instance, this is a compliance article. What I could do now is, since this isn't live yet, I can do an edit page. I've been allowed to do so. Very grateful for the customers who've been willing to give me access to their sites. So you see, if you see here, you can see what they've done on the preview capability. So we have device channels, as you know them, that's mainly used for optimizing the experience for mobiles and tablets and so on. But Acmea, they have chosen to use the device channels to do preview because you see here is kind of a rich experience. It's you have the complete CSS from SharePoint. You have the ribbon available. It's kind of a different experience versus what you would expect for a public-facing site. And back to what the optimizations they've done, they've removed that on the publishing side. But still, when you're doing the authoring, you would like to see what does it actually look like when you publish it. So if you see here, you have the preview. And so here you have authoring and default. So if I now click default here, this should now open in a new window. And I need to allow this, always allow. Let's see if it loads. Let's try again. Oh, working on it. Let's see. Let's try again. Okay, I have another demo showing that. Something went wrong with the network here now. But the concept here of then having capabilities that makes it possible to show how it will be when you publish it, even when you use the clean HTML, is kind of a neat way of using the device channels. They're also using image renditions. And as you see here, again, it's all about enabling content editors to do whatever they like without risking to break the site. So it's like the picture you see here now, it's critical that doesn't break the homepage as such. Let's see. Another customer, that's actually they're live. If you go to the Canadian, or not now maybe because I'll use it later on, the Canadian version of marantz.com, you'll see that they're live and they're running SharePoint 2013. And I guess it's not an experience there that you would expect from SharePoint in general. I think it's a great site. And what's been important for them is multilingual. It's using managed navigation. And they're also using the new product catalog site collection template. So the product catalog site collection template is all about being able to, in an easy way, publish structured information. And they are powering the whole product catalog of the Marantz site then through this site collection. And they have then the separation. They have one site collection, which is based on the product catalog site collection template. And then they have one site collection that is based on the publishing template. And that is the one we'll be accessing. So let's see if we can take a look at that. And I think it's great to see sites like this. It's quite different from how you would think of SharePoint in general? Look at this. I think this is great. So you see the address there, the CanadianMarins.com. So DNM Holding is looking into moving a lot of their brands onto SharePoint 2013. And when you see here, this is then served from the data lives in the product catalog and is connected through search, cross-site publishing, to the publishing site collection, where it then appears here. And if I click on this item, you'll see that in the URL, you see Blu-ray and then the number, and you see the details here. They're also looking into adding recommendations here, since in SharePoint 2013, out of the box, we have recommendation engine. And with a recommendation engine, I mean the experience you expect from any kind of online online shop. And that is all about users who bought this also bought these items. You've probably seen that as part of Amazon for a long time. We have that now available out of the box in SharePoint. And we use that for these scenarios, but we also use it actually for the productivity scenarios. But this site got live last week, so this is quite quite fresh actually. And I'm quite a fan of this site actually, with the look and feel and the richness that they've done on top of this. Another customer, Brightstar. They also actually went live last week. So I'm so glad to have this. It's been exciting for me to see what I actually could go through in this session. But Brightstar, they went live last week. And what's been important for them is to have minimal custom code. They've been running their internet site on SharePoint 2007. Then they moved to 2010. And now on 2013, they're really happy with the minimal amount of custom code that is necessary to make this look good and work according to their expectations. So what's been important for them is managed navigation, friendly URLs again. I think you'll see that as a common factor, like the managed navigation is maybe the first feature you should look into if you're setting up a public-facing site based on SharePoint 2013. And another thing that Brightstar really likes is the snippet gallery. How you can, in the page layout, easy drop a web part with configuration, everything. You use the design manager, you generate the snippet with all the configurations, you paste it into the page layout, and it's just working. So they're a huge, huge fan of that as well. And what they've also invested in is actually responsive design. So I'll show you that as well. No, so that was not the one. So this is what this looks like, and you see if I now change, it's updated. It looks really good on all types of devices, and the kind of feedback when I talked to that team yesterday was great. They said that what they had to do was normal HTML work, and they didn't have to think too much about SharePoint and how SharePoint is working. They were able to focus on the HTML experience, and like you would do with any site. And if I go to, for instance, this SharePoint here, you see that, and if I go to then SharePoint websites, for instance, since we're talking about that, you see that the URL says Microsoft SharePoint Solutions, Microsoft SharePoint Websites. again, critical for the search engines to find the correct content. So, another huge customer is Jones Lang LaSalle. And Jones Lang LaSalle is a huge global company. It's, they're all over the world. You find them in Russia, you find them in Europe, Poland. They have a lot of offices in the US. And they have 500 marketeers. So they had a session on the business objectives and so on all this yesterday. So that's a session you could watch as well if you'd like to do so later on. But what's been key for Jones Lang LaSalle is really to enable these marketeers. They would like a self-service solution where the marketeers do everything themselves. What's also interesting is that they have 80% content reuse. Like the single marketeer is only producing 20% of the content themselves. Rest is actually federated across the whole topology, the whole company. And the kind of capabilities we had in SharePoint 2013 really made that possible for them. What's also been important for them is the mobile device experience. And the responsive design I showed you for Brightstar, that wasn't suitable for the needs they had. They, again, wanted the marketeers to be able to control what would be displayed in the mobile device, the tablet device, and in a laptop experience. And you can't ask marketeers to understand CSS3 and do advanced HTML programming. So what they've done here, I'll show you that, is a very nice add-on on top of the device channel experience where the marketeers can actually choose what web parts to display in what experience. And what they've also done is content targeting. And with content targeting, I'll show you an example of that as well. What's important there is to push the right content to the right user based on their intention. Meaning that when we access the site, it could very well be that we'll see different things. I'll show you a simple example of that as well. But that is kind of mind-blowing when it comes to what we can do on top of this platform. This kind of content targeting, personalized experience, only the imagination is blocking us for creating great personalized experiences. So let's see what this looks like. So this is the site. They haven't gone live yet, as you see on the URL. This is... it's not publicly available. They're working on that, and this is the first one they've set up. They have a great plan on rolling this out to all their sites. So if I now look at, like, if you go to services, you see that they use the managed navigation, and here everything is search-driven. Again, 80% reuse of content, and they federate that through search. So if I go to corporate solutions here, for instance, you'll see that this is their corporate solutions. If I now go to the news section, you'll see that news corporate solutions is on top. And that's not by incident. That is content targeting. It's one of the easier examples of content targeting going on here. So they're pushing what the news they think I'm interested in. If I can show you, if I go to energy and sustainability, for instance, and I go back to news, you see news, energy, and sustainability. So this is the kind of personalization, optimization of the experience that is key for them. That they have so much information available. They have a lot of services, research, a lot of assets. And it's key to deliver the right information to the right user and to reduce the bounce rate. I think these are great examples. I'll also show you what they've done for the device channel experience. So if I go to edit page here, and you see this is a good indication that they're doing a search-driven site. So you see that this page is actually powering 6 different URLs. So this is what we call a category page. But I'll now go and edit the page template here. And you see that they've added these tabs so that per tab, the marketeer can choose what web part should be available for each device. So I'll click on, if I go to the smartphone here, for instance, you see that this look and feel is quite different. And they have then a good self-service model for a marketeer to decide what should my experience look like on the device, like smartphone, tablet, normal PC. So I think that is a great example of how to empower the end user, what they've done on top of device channels here, how to empower the users to then optimize their internet presence. And actually, the marketeers in JLL, I don't have that kind of access into this system because this is going live soon. What they've also done here is they've enabled that kind of content targeting for the marketeers. So it's not, you don't have to involve IT to decide what content should be served to what user segment. The marketeers can do that themselves. I think it's a great story. So the last site we'll talk about, and I have a lot of access into this site, so I can show you quite a bit here, actually, is Movention.com. So Movention.com, they launched, I think, a few days after Beta 2 was available. So they've been live for quite a while. And they have been very particular on what the HTML should look like. They decided to go for the responsive design approach, and the accessibility was key for them. Extremely important that the HTML was clean. So if you go to Movention.com later on and do the view source, you can look through it, and I think it's difficult to actually see that it is SharePoint. What's also been important for them is multilingual. Through statistics, they saw that they had a lot of international visitors, like people coming in, visiting the site from other countries than the Netherlands. They are based in the Netherlands. And a lot of these users bounced. So they decided that we need an English version of the content. And since it's quite time-consuming to do this kind of translation, they were very, very happy with the support we've added in SharePoint 2013 when it comes to how you can export XLIFF packages, hand them over to translators. The translators and the agencies they work for receive that package and they nod because they recognize the format. It plugs directly into the tools they're using on a daily basis. So they can then do that translation. They send a package back. You import it. and you have the translation there. All of this is on top of out-of-the-box SharePoint using variations. Nothing customized there at all. And I know that for Mavention, that was a key feature to get a multilingual site up and running. They don't have in-house translators, and the manual work of trying to coordinate that content is too much. But now they just send off a package, receive a package, import it, and it's working. And they've also done content targeting. What's been important for them is to see who's potential customers, who is potential employees, like potential hires, and also they're targeting with content the visitors with particular technical knowledge. Mavention is actually a great site to visit. They have in the blogs there. I'll show you in a minute. In the blog session there, you'll actually see what they've done. They wrote down the whole recipe on how to set up this site. So it's a great site to visit, and it's a good a good recipe on how to do this from scratch, actually. So let's take a look at the Mavention site. So again, they have been focusing on the adaptive design. So if you see here, it's self-adjusting. You can try to access it using your tablet and your phone later on as well. It's very neat design. And as it says here on the tile as well, we published a case study for this. So that's available on MSDN and TechNet if you want to read up there as well on what's been done. So you have several sources you can go to see how this site has been set up. And I'll walk you through some of the things they've done. So if I go to, for instance, this topic page they've set up, our site in SharePoint 2013. And if I now visit, for instance, this blog here, you see that if I go back to the front page, a different article is displayed, SharePoint WCM specialist. That's just one of the examples. But now I've been targeted as a technical person, so I'm a potential hire. I'm not good enough for them, but the intention is good anyway. So I think it's a great example. They have more of those rules as well. They are tracking referrals, for instance. So if you're coming from some particular blogs that you're targeted, they do a lot of these things to make sure that the bounce rate is reduced. And it's all about reducing the bounce rate. People need to find what they're looking for immediately instead of having to click around and do a lot of searching and so on. It's about content targeting, personalized experience, get the message out there in the first try. So another example, and I think I'll go back to this one here, is if I go to the, I think they have a tile here. Let's see. Translation support in SharePoint 2013. Here they've actually described what they've done here. Like you saw the list of blogs where they've typed out everything they've done. It's a great reading. So in this blog post, they explain the translation support in SharePoint 2013. They're also doing a JSON-based query. Since this is all search-driven using content search and the cross-site publishing, they're also doing a JSON-based query on the right-hand side. You see the tile from the profiles they published. So you see that Joris Engels is the publisher or is the author of this page. And if I move to the bottom here, you'll see recommendations. So these articles aren't manually mapped in to be relevant to this article. This is calculated using what we call the or what's known as MapReduce, or the concept of MapReduce. And we call it wisdom of the crowds. It means that when you now start clicking through the site and you click on what you think is interesting, what is displayed here will be changing. It's not necessary to sit and update that. It's not necessary to add that kind of relationships manually when you add an article. When people are clicking, it will be a self-learning system. So the relevant articles will appear. And again, to reduce the bounce rate, like if you have that kind of way of sending your users to the next level, the next level, the next level, it's a great forcing function to then make sure that they discover all relevant content. They are also using the image rendition feature. So if I click on this picture here, you see the full-blown size where you actually can see what they've done when setting up variations. And it's then formatted to the screen. If I can show you this one as well, it's quite neat. If I now go down, it will actually scale to the size I have on the browser as well. See, yeah, you could try that on your device as well. Another thing that they've done is they made sure that the URL again is correct, blog support translation, SharePoint 2013. If I now go to the Dutch site, because this is the English translated site, I'll go to the Dutch site. Again, don't expect me to pronounce anything of this. You'll see in the URL that the URL is also translated. And this isn't done, like, it's not two separate sites. It's all driven from one authoring site. One authoring site with two document libraries with variations set up. Those two libraries are then pushing content to .com and .nl. And when I now then click on the Dutch version, you see that in the term store, we have both the English phrase for something that I will not pronounce, and both the Dutch and the English phrase. So I think that is a great way of maintaining a multilingual site. You have it all in one place, and you're consuming it from all these different sites. So they have set up a .com and .nl. You could just add on, like, you just connect to the catalog that has been shared using cross-site publishing, and you're good to go. And from the term store perspective, like if I go to, you see news here now, and I go to the Dutch version, you see news in Dutch. You can then actually, you don't have to manually maintain two different site structures. You have one site structure with labels in it. And based on the regional setting of the publishing site collection, it will pick up the right label. I'll also show you the authoring experience here. So this is the authoring experience. I'll open this article here. Oops, that timed out my login. Let's see if I can remember my credentials here. So this is the authoring experience. And if I now go to, for instance, Show Ribbon, I can show you they've actually done the same kind of authoring experience as Acmea, and I'll show you how that works, if it's possible to get that working. So again, you see that the authoring experience is kind of different from the publishing experience. So the end users will see something different from the authors. Again, they've used then device channels. So if I go to preview, I can now select publishing. And by doing so, you can see the content, how it actually will appear when it's published. It's a way of using device channels to then make sure that the authors are confident before they click publish. I think it's a nice way of doing it. And I'll show you something else as well, which is, I'll go back to the Pages library, let's see. I'll go here. So what I'll show you now is most popular items. So the same mechanisms, the same analytics engine that is calculating the recommendations and what we call the recommendation item web part, that engine is also gathering statistics. So if I now click this one here, we'll see. So here you actually see the kind of traffic they've had on the different articles. So translation support in SharePoint 2013 is the most popular one. And if we move down, you see the different statistics. I can also open a popularity trend for one particular item. I can also navigate and search and do a lot of pivoting here in this UI. Again, it's all out of the box. Popularity trends. I'll open this. So I know that this particular installation went live only a few days ago, so I think the statistics isn't, it's not way back. But here you see then unique users and hits for this particular page. You also have the same information on a site level, and it's a good insight into how your content is performing. So let's see. So this is actually the publishing site collection. And now I'm in edit mode on the publishing site collection. Normally, there is limited need of doing anything here because everything is driven from the back end. So this would be more if you want to change any of the layouts or something. But what I'll show you here now is what they've done on the content targeting side. So I go to site settings. So the Okay, let's try again. So the content targeting is driven on top of search and through query rules. Here we are. Yep. So if I now go to search query rules, you will see all sources. You will see that they have defined some targeting rules here. Mavens to be. If I open this one, I'll just show you what it looks like. You'll see that this is then it's active on the home page, and for it's active for these user segments. So when they fire a query using the content search web part, they add information about user segment, and then that is matched in the query rules side. So these query rules are actually deciding what content you'll see on top. So when I clicked on the blog and was flagged as a technical resource, this is where all of that is happening. It's happening actually in the back end. So it's a very, very flexible way of managing your site without having to do any structural changes. So that was really what I intended to show you. I hope that you've gotten some inspiration on what you can do with SharePoint 2013 for internet sites. I think the kind of feedback I've received so far has been great when it comes to the WCM capabilities. If you're interested in the features, in like how the features actually work, instead of the end result that we've gone through now, you should visit these sessions. So there's a session now, best practices for designing websites with SharePoint 2013, that I highly recommend. We also have an overview of search-driven websites at 1:45. That is all about cross-site publishing and the story around how you drive content reuse using search, how you connect to a catalog, how you get the navigation up and running, and also deliver adaptive and personalized experiences. There you'll see things like personalization based on Facebook login. And I'm actually doing the session tomorrow at 9 a.m., where we'll go through more how you can connect with a product catalog, how you can do content reuse, how you can do what we call faceted navigation, optimizing each page. And it's all driven from the back end. So that's a session I also recommend. And then on Thursday, we have a session on overview of website architecture in SharePoint 2013. So there's a lot of WCM sessions this event, and there's a reason for it. We've invested a lot. And I'm looking forward to using the sites you set up based on these features. I'm really looking forward to that. And now we're opening up for questions. Yeah, and please send in your evaluations. Yeah. Yeah. If you use the mic, that would be great. Thanks.
Okay. This might be a pretty basic question, but what is this managed navigation? How is it set up and how does it work?
So managed navigation is driven from the term store. And in the term store, you have that structure where you then decide what ASPX page should be associated with what URL. So if you want to see that in detail, the search-driven session, back to what I just, the session on the SPC 180, overview of search-driven websites, they will go through that in detail. So I highly recommend that session to have a look at managed navigation. Any other questions?
Hi, which session did you recommend for the gallery configuration?
So the snippet gallery?
Yes.
I would do the Tuesday best practices for designing websites, the session that's following this session. So SPC 019.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Good. Okay, great. Thank you all.